Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here tonight, to worship you in spirit and in truth. A little foretaste of the coming wedding supper, when we can come together tonight to dine together around the elements which represent the body of your broken body of your Son, Jesus, and the wine which represents the blood that was spilt for us, Father, to release your Holy Spirit back upon us. And Father, thinking of the day, the great time coming when the wedding supper will take place, Lord. And we'll just sit around for 3.5 years at a table, God. We enjoy fellowship, Father, and we sit around the table, we take our time, we eat, we talk. And Father, what it's going to be like for 3.5 years to be able to sit at that great table and to just fellowship with the saints, knowing that it's all over. Help us, O God, to keep that in focus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I'm going to be speaking on faith number 23, the ripening of our faith. And I actually needed more time this evening because I had to cut out about a third of it at least, just having everybody just eaten and then coming over, I'm sure some eyelids might be drooping after a little bit. So I'm going to try to keep it short tonight, hopefully 45 minutes or less. But this evening I'd like to show you the two groups of people who actually hear the message. One hears it and has faith. That is to say that they actually have the message revealed to them, whereas the other group hears the same message, but because it is not mixed with faith, because it is not really revealed to them, they miss it altogether, and it has no effect on them. From a sermon, God's only provided a place of worship. Brother Brown said, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand. But friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Now, if they were only beginning, this is 1965, this is 1128, just a month, or less than a month before Brother Brown was taken off the scene, that they were just beginning to hear, just beginning to understand. It was all intellectual to them. It wasn't a reality. It was hearing but not recognizing, and certainly not acting upon. All right? So he says, but friends, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. We've got to come to full maturity. Now, before we go further, I want to stop and notice how Brother Branham is associating the laying in the presence of the Son with the ripening or the maturing of our faith. So without the parousia, without the appearing, the coming understanding, the laying in that word, we would never have come to a place where we could mature in our faith. So I'm very, very thankful to Brother Bell's ministry for breaking those things down to us and really getting us to understand the presence of our Lord that is here. Now, Brother Brown said, our faith isn't right. Intellectually, he says, we're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he showed us and proving it by the Bible as that. But oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up in the heart, gets sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. Sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh, have to break it in like that because you've got to clinch a nail to make it hold. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, then in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like the people was there when it takes its rapture. Now, the benefit they had is they didn't have these bodies. But we're going to have it with these bodies. I want you to think about that in itself. Because we struggle with this. They didn't have that over there. They're in their celestial body. Brother Brown said, I put my arm around them. It didn't matter if it was, they're all just beautiful. One woman, she came to know the Lord at 90 years old. She's a beautiful woman. Put my arms around her. There was no feelings there. There was no sensations. It wasn't in this body of this death. Now, it's easy, I shouldn't say easy, but it's easy for them to have that sweet nature and everything else that goes with it when they don't struggle with the ups and downs, the headaches, the back aches, the knee aches, the old age aches, all those things that are associated with this flesh. And so he says, I know the bride will be something like the people was there when it takes the rapture. So we're talking about conquering death. We're talking about conquering, having victory in Christ. All right. Now the last something that happens when we come to the place of laying in the presence of the Son is to ripen. After all, you know, you got to know where that place is, and then you go to it. Then to lay there, it shows that you have entered into a rest which can only come from maturity and complete trust. He says, once we do begin to understand the message, and once we then lay in the presence of the Son, so it's coming to understanding first, then laying in the presence, and once we get it, or understand it, then something happens. He says, we become separated. Notice his wording here. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, then in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like the people were there when it takes the rapture. So then what are we seeing in these statements that he's making but a separation that comes from the fact that we have come into God's presence? In other words, like we read this morning, we separate everything from the world. Like I mentioned about your dream, all that stuff just floated away. Okay. Now remember Genesis 1, chapter 1. Every time God spoke, separation took place. The first time God spoke, he separated light from darkness. The second time, he separated the water from above from the water from below. The third time God speaks, in 1:26, is when he said, let us make man in our image. Well, what we see there then is the law of reproduction when the cells have to divide and multiply, divide, multiply, divide, multiply. So there's a separation every time God speaks. Now, Brother Bram is saying, well, we've got to enter the presence of God, the Word. And when we enter the presence of God, the Word, and lay in that presence, it will separate, it'll do all the separation for us. All right? So then, in John chapter 3, we see, it says, where evil separates itself from the light. Remember, he says, this is the condemnation that light has come in, and darkness doesn't want to be around light. What is it? Verse 20, 21. But those that are of the light come to the light, that their deeds might be manifested that they are of the light. Well, so we see in John 3, where evil separates itself from the light, but those who love the truth and have their source in God, they come to the light. Therefore, this evening, I wish to bring focus on this thought of these two groups of people and where the same word leads them. Now, remember, we have a church, and within the church, and we have a church age, and within the church age, we have the bride age. The church age ends when the bride is caught up. She's taken out of here. But God is not dealing at this time with the church any longer. He's dealing only with the bride. We read you quotes from Brother Brown this morning about that bride age. Now, and if you didn't hear this morning's sermon, please do. It's kind of a compilation of just about where we're at today. All right, and where we come from. Now, this brings us to two points. Separation, as it is, has to do with the ripening or maturing of our faith. Remember, when Abraham matured, God separated him from Lot. All right? And point number two, how this maturing of our faith brings us to the place of a rapturing faith. Now, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 to 2 and verse 3, we read, and to you are troubled. All right? Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from or out from or away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Remember, they are separated from the Lord. The church age, Laodicean church age, he's knocking on the door. He's not in the church. God is not dealing with the church. We're now in a bride age. He's dealing only with the bride. He's not dealing with the church. He's been put on the outside. All right? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. From the doxa. They're separated from the doxa. They have no clue what the values, no clue what the opinion of God is, no clue what the judgments. They've got church tradition. They've got creeds. They've got denominational dogma and everything else. But they have no clue what the opinions of God are. All right, and that they have no clue what his values. That's why you can have churches where the women come in and they got shorts on, and the men come in shorts and just all kinds of filthy living and dressing and everything else. They have no clue what the values of God are. Okay, when he shall come, now notice at this time where we are to be in rest with him, these are separated. But then he says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, a duality. When you have so surrendered yourself to his spirit that's living in you, that it's not you and your spirit and his spirit, it's you and his spirit, period. Like Brother Brown said, Jesus surrendered his flesh, his body, to the spirit that was within him. And he said, we must do the same thing. So, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was believed among you in that day. Wherefore also we pray also always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, notice in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, in other words, a gathering at the time of parousia, that you may not be soon shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit nor by the word, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, that no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, there's a separation, a falling away. All right? So, the falling away is from his presence, and the gathering together is to his presence. They fall away, we enter in. They are not restful, we are restful. Look at the political scene out there. There is more trauma, drama, and trauma going on out there. More confusion, more chaos, more people agitated and everything else. Bang, 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 bang. And the bride is laying in the presence of the Son. She's ripe. She's maturing. So if they have fallen away, they certainly cannot lay in his presence to ripen or mature. Therefore, we're looking at two groups of people, those who are being gathered unto him and those who are being separated from him. As we read further, I want you to recognize what the difference is between these two groups. You'll find it is faith. Now, remember, he says, when I come, shall I find faith? Now, in verse 3, we see the falling away that must come first. This falling away comes via attrition. It is actually a divorcement that comes through attrition. Now, notice in every Exodus, there are two groups. Both come out, but what makes them different is that one group goes in, while the other either stops or goes back to where they came out from. Remember, Brother Branham said in a sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, now just a minute, I want to look up something here. I think I wrote it down right. I'm not sure, but I want to say it and look it up before I say it. Now, just a minute. Reprobates concerning the truth, concerning the faith, there's only one faith, that's right, concerning the faith, reprobates. And in 2 Timothy 3 and 8 we read, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now the word reprobate concerning the faith, not reprobates in living, they're fine cultured men, and actually that should be in blue because that's Brother Branham. Alright. Now, from God keeps his word, he said, the Bible said, they be lovers of their own self, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, just like they did, but denying the power thereof, the word. If they speak not according to that, there is no life to them. That's right. Having a form of godliness, but denying from such turn away, for this is the sort that goes from house to house with their books and campaigns and so forth, and leads silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge. What kind are they? Jannes and Jambres have all kinds of fantastics and everything. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these resist the truth, man of reprobate mind concerning the word, trying to take the word of God and pervert it into something else, into a fantastic or a religious organization, or build them up in a great name, or make themselves some great name. From such turn away, stay with the word. Now the vine says of reprobate, it means unable to pass the test, because these are men whose moral sense is perverted, and whose minds are beclouded with their own speculations. And the word beclouded simply means their minds are clouded over, or they're muddled with their own thoughts. As Brother Bell said, their minds are muddied. Their minds are just muddied. All right? That's why the message is not clear to them, because their own minds are muddied. In other words, they have not let their thinking go, as Brother Ram told us that we have no thought coming. And many of this message have not yet learned that lesson. We have no thought coming. God vindicates his word by interpreting it. He interprets it by bringing it to pass. That's why false doctrines have crept in. And as I mentioned before, there's more false doctrines, weirder false doctrines that have crept into this message than when I was a Catholic boy. I mean, you know, you think it's weird for somebody to pray to a dead saint. But he listen, they not only pray to Brother Branham, I mean, they've made Brother Branham the Lord Jesus Christ. They've done things in this message that are just totally insane. You know, preaching that the pastor is a husband, spiritually speaking. And so then, you know, and I've run across it in South America. One pastor, he had a wedding, he exchanged wedding bands with every single person in the congregation. It's just a form of control. Weird. It, there's no Bible doctrine for it. Okay? Now, 2 Timothy 3:8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. From the first seal, Brother Branham said, God has promised it. When the word is refused, then they turned to their desires. Let's read Thessalonians again. Now, and I want you to watch here just a minute and say, well, now read it. We read it a while ago. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. It said that they would be turning down, rejecting the truth. They would be given over to a reprobate mind and would believe a lie and would be damned by it. That's what the Holy Spirit said. So we see the two groups. One coming in, one recognizing and acting upon, the others just walking away. For the second song, we'll just read it ourselves. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now from his sermon once more, Lord, Brother Brown says, Samson knew one thing, and I wonder if the church realizes today, he knew that his backslidden condition couldn't meet the challenge of the hour. And I know today that the backslidden condition of the church can't meet the challenge of this hour, and it's going to be worse. The Bible said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will they, men of reprobate mind concerning the faith. They can almost impersonate it exactly. So what good does it do if you impersonate? Now just think about it. The Pharisees in public, I mean, they were spotless. But she said, inside, they're full of dead men's bones. Well, wouldn't you know if you're a hypocrite or not? What are you going to gain? What are you going to profit from hypocrisy? From identified Christ of all ages, Brother Brown said, Heavenly Father, you said, it shall be light in the evening time. We see, Lord, all signs, nations are breaking, Israel's inner homeland, earthquakes in diverse places, man's hearts are failing, perverted minds, reprobate concerning the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, you said, men of reprobate minds are given over to a delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. But you promised in that day that you'd make yourself known. The Son of Man would be revealed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, by his same characteristics that identify him in every age. And from anointed ones at the end time, he said, reprobate, Jannes and Jambres, as it was good. Now also listen, 2 Timothy 3:8. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, also in the last days, the same reprobates would come. Now see what it says here. Having a form of godliness, anointed ones. And again, from the anointed ones at the end time. Now notice, that was Jesus speaking. Here come Paul right behind him, and he said, now, in the last days, there will come a religious people, see, having a form of godliness, and leading silly women, led away with all kinds of worldly lusts. And they wonder, they say, well, why do you pick on them women? Oh, for goodness. They just don't see it. Lead silly women, laden with diverse lusts, away from things like that. That's the Bible. And if Jannes and Jambres, Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates. Reprobate mind concerning the faith, not a faith, the faith, one Lord, one baptism. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. And so as this morning, we spoke on how God, the church came through three stages, justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. That was during the church age. Brother Brown said the church age ends in Laodicea. The church is in Laodicea. He said that's the Pentecostal church age. Then you have God himself come down in this hour doing three things, a shout, a voice, a trump. God doing three things, and now the bride. She's to enter into a spirit of adoption, into the manifestation as a true son, and she's to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. All right? Now, notice here, in Matthew 22:28, even so he also appear outwardly right as righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. In Luke 12:1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multiple of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now the Pharisees, his brethren, his disciples, they begin to wonder and say, oh, is he speaking about we just didn't bring any bread? And it's, oh, come on. Don't you understand the leaven is their doctrine? Now remember, we spoke of three things during the church ages. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost under the church ages. The three doctrines to the church age. Well, in Matthew 13:33, Jesus warns us that the kingdom of God will be likened unto a woman. Let's just read it. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. Remember, that's the Pharisees' doctrine, the false doctrine, which a woman took, a church, and she hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Why do you think that justification, the doctrine, it's a right doctrine under Luther, it produced a lot. Under sanctification, under Wesley, it was a right doctrine, it produced a lot. And then back to the Holy Ghost, it was a right doctrine, it produced a lot. But why did those three, filled with the leaven of men, end up producing a Laodicea people? Like I said, you can have a doctrine, 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 and if there's no life, you've got nothing. You see that the kingdom of heaven, which is this hour, when the king has come, and we are, and he's with his people, and you see what the doctrine of justification, the church doctrine, justification, sanctification, back to the Lord, what produced? Laodicea. That's why God himself comes down with a shout and cuts it all off. And now he starts dealing only with the bride. Brother Rand called it a bride age. So we see at the end of the ages that the whole meal barrel is full of leaven and false doctrine until there is not a table that is clean. Now we didn't have a chance to go into all the scripture for that, but that's what we go over to Isaiah 28. So God comes down and ends the church ages and begins the bride age. Now it all began in the first church age, Galatians 2:13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Notice the first church age. In the first church age, you were carried away with their dissimulation already. Already. Paul's the one who preached that just shall live by faith. Already, they were being carried away. There was a falling away. In Luke 20:20, and they washed him and set forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. Justified, see? That they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the government. And so Peter warns us that at the end time, men will come in with pretentious words, bringing in what he calls damnable heresies. Modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Matthew, we're living in the bride age, the calling, bringing back to God through the channel that he promised to bring him back in. He promised to do it. We're talking about Malachi 3:7. But as it's been in every age, people let men put their own interpretation to it by theology and will not believe God's divine vindication. That's God's interpretation, not what I say, not what somebody else says, but what God has promised and what God does, and he proves that it's God doing his own interpretation of his word. And from the rising of the sun, notice he says, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, he was the first fruit of those that slept. In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Oh my. Waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was a wheat. That proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. I'm sure those people understood he was talking about his own ministry. All right. It was waved over the people, and the first time there will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, out from a from a corrupted justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and will be a message that the full maturity of the Word has turned back again and in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that He did back there. What's it to produce? A full mature bride. All right. Now let's just read 2 Peter 2 and 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, bring in to where? To the message of the hour. Even denying, even saying no to the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, here's the key, and through covetousness, they've got their motives for doing this. They sell their DVDs and all that to make money. They shall with feigned words, made up words, make merchandise of you. So these who come in have one objective, and that is to make merchandise of the saints, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You know, we see the big mega churches. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Notice he said, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Again, we see in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 2, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So what does that tell us? If your conscience is seared with a hot iron, what does that do? Well, if you put a hot iron on your skin, what happens? It scars up. It's no longer pliable. It always remains in that condition of hard and calloused. These men know better, it says, but because they have a conscience that has been seared by a hot iron, it's scarred for life. It is no longer soft and pliable, but it's scarred. They're stiff, they're stubborn, and they're determined to do what they want to do. They know better, but they're hypocrites. And a hypocrite, according to Webster, is a stage actor. Is a pretender, a person who pretends to be what he is not. Just play acting. The Bible calls them hypocritical liars, men who take up another man's statement as if it were their own. They're impersonators, simulate, feign, or pretend. Now, it says that their mind or their hearts have been seared. They know better, but they have to have it their way. They do not live by faith or by the faith. Okay, and that's why they fall away from the faith. Now, in Galatians 2 and 16, we read, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, Galatians 3 and 2. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. And Galatians 3 and 5. He therefore that ministereth to you by the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. And one more in Jude 4. For there are certain men who have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? It's basically free living. Just doing whatever you want. The liberal mind. These men deny the one that bought them. Now look, he's here and they say he isn't. Or they deny the way in which he is now. And now the body isn't the one that bought them. That is the only price that was paid. So they're not denying Jesus, the Son of God. They're denying God himself, the Word. But the one that bought them is God himself, who paid the price of your life with another life, that of his Son, the firstborn Son. Now, Hebrews 4 and 2 we read, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. So the same gospel both heard. Just like the wise and the foolish version, they both heard the same midnight cry, the same message. All right, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard. No revelation. So we see here two groups. And what sets them apart as different is the effect that the Word of God has upon them. The same word, mind you, on one group it has an effect, while the other group it has no effect at all. Now we're talking about the same word. And remember, the five wise and the five foolish both heard the same midnight cry, behold. In other words, he's here. And it had a different effect on one group than it did from the other. One group went in with him, went further into his presence. As Paul said, laying aside the principles of the doctrine, let's go on to perfection. Let's keep moving in and in and in. See? In Deuteronomy 32 and 20 we read, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will be, I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Now this word froward means perverted people. These were a perverted people, a people who cannot receive the truth for what it is, so they receive it as a twisted truth. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and 2 we read, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now what I want to show this evening is that these two groups of people are both ordained to hear the same message at the end time, but one group has faith to not only hear, but to recognize and act upon it, while the other group has not received the same message by revelation. It is not revealed to them, and thus they do not recognize it and act upon it. The same God who appeared in that cloud was seen by the church, Pentecostal church. The same works of God that Moses, you know, the Bible says the people saw the works of God, but Moses understood his way. All right? The same works of God that God did in that man was seen by the church age. And yet, the age within the age, the church age didn't get it. There's no response on that. But to the bride, she entered into a bride age. All right, she went in with him, with the Lord who has descended with a shout. So we see the two groups of people are both ordained to hear the same message, the wise, the foolish, the church and the bride. But one group has faith to not only hear, but to recognize and act upon it, while the other group has not received the same message by revelation. It is not revealed to them, and thus they do not recognize it, and they do not act upon it. And they thus lose what hope that they have, and through attrition, and they just wear away. They are reprobate concerning the faith. They don't pass the test. They are they who depart from the faith. Now, this attrition we speak of is a wearing away or weakening to the point of exhaustion, a wearing or grinding down by affliction. And these either walk away or altogether. From Israel at Kadesh Barnea, Brother Asa said, then God, after fixing Moses, getting him ready, sent out the signs. Then the last sign we taken last night was death. And we found out that spiritual death in the church, the last plague now. The church drying up and blowing away, that's right. We're living in a horrible time. How that the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out. Dying time, letting the blood off the front of the door. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And from discerning of the body. Now, Brother Brown, what's he describing here? He's describing the attrition, the falling away. All right? From discerning of the body of the Lord, he said, we can't discern by what people think, what intellectuals tell us, what psychologists tell us. We've got to go by what God says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak and sickly, many are asleep. Dead, spiritually dead. The last plague that hit Egypt was death. The last plague that has hit the church is spiritual death. What we need today is a spiritual awakening to discernment. In other words, when something comes, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be finances. It could be relationship with your spouse. It could be you're falling in love with somebody. It could be you got anger with somebody. It could be, you know, somebody's angry with you. It doesn't matter what it is. If we don't have discernment to understand the day and the hour in which we're living, that is a predestined trial from God to see where your focus is going to be on, then it might just pull you out. Remember Brother Vail harped on us. He said, there's going to be something take you out. There's going to be something take you out. Get your eyes on Christ. From Speak to This Rock, Brother Asa said, how easy they had forgotten that when the plagues was in Egypt, that they were protected. When there was flies all over everything, there wasn't a fly around them. When lice filled all the beds, all the clothing and everything else, there wasn't one bit of it on them. Frogs was in the cupboards and everything else, all over the rest of the unbelievers, but they had been protected. God showing His mercy, notice, and when that final and great night come, God said, this is my final blow at Egypt. But before I can strike this blow, I've got to bring my children to protection. And there was a sacrificial lamb killed, and the blood was put on the posts and lintels of the door, and the congregation went under the blood. And remember, that was the last plague that struck Egypt, and that last plague that's striking the church today is the same as that was, a spiritual death. Because as God led them literally, He leads us spiritually, and the last blow at the enemy is death, is striking. And all from under the blood is disfellowshipped by the Holy Ghost. Now remember, we read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says that they are separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. All right? So it says they are being disfellowshipped by the Holy Spirit. In other words, they shut the door. He's on the outside. They won't let Him in. They want somebody else to come in. From only believe, Brother Branson, you remember the last plague hit Egypt. What was the last plague that hit Egypt, which was the type of the church going out? Was death. Well, listen. Isn't Laodicea the last church? All right. Then isn't this right before the church going out? The age is going out. So what has to hit? Death. What's the last plague has hit the Pentecostal church? Spiritual death. It's going right on back like the rest of the world, spiritual death. But the circumcised with the blood on the door took the homeward march. That's exactly with the pillar of fire going before them to lead them away. And from the fourth seal, he said, like he give Egypt, he give Egypt place to repent. What was the last plague? Was death. That's the last plague that's hit the Pentecostal church. It's spiritual death. She's dead. That's in the name of the Lord. She's spiritually dead. He gave her place to repent, and she rejected it. Now she's dead. She will never rise again. And from the unveiling of God, they spiritually die now. This is the spiritual veil. See, that was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil. See, they keep walking right on in behind there. You can tell them, I know, but and go ahead. It's all right. It only speaks. You remember the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to the dust, and the righteous will walk out upon the ashes, their ashes. But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. So we see the paths of these two groups, that they've taken two different directions. The one who possesses faith moves on with the word, being led by the pillar of fire. She's entered into a bride age, while the other rejects the presence and goes backward into Pentecost all over again, and thus into death, spiritual death. Now the difference in these two groups is that one has a gene seed of God by predestination, and they were predestined before the foundation of the world to the adoption of children, while the other is only trying to copy or trying to pattern themselves after what they are not. But they are hypocrites because although they say what He said, they reject the understanding of what He said, and thus point people away from the one who's here and point them to themselves, self-idolation, just like their father Satan. And look, this is the hour of the selfie. This is the hour of self-idolation. In Matthew, Jesus told them, fill up you the measure of your fathers. And in John 8:38, He says, I do that which I see my father do, and you do that which your father do. You see your father do. Then in verse 41, He said, you do the deeds of your father who was a murderer from the beginning. Then He said, you're of your father, and the lusts of your father you will do. So it is apparent that these men are not gene seed of God. Then you say, well, why do they want to imitate Jesus? And I'll answer that, because that is what their father did. Didn't Lucifer in the very beginning try to exalt himself to be like the Son of God? Or above the sons of God? All right, let's go back to Ezekiel 28. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. Now the word sealest is actually a Hebrew word, token. It's actually spelled T-O-K-E-N, or T-O-K-E-H-N, but it's pronounced token. Okay, thou sealest up the sum. Excuse me, the word sum is token. Thou sealest up the token, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. The word sealest means fillest. Okay, you filled up the token. You filled up the pattern. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou wast then in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. I anointed you, he says. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. What's iniquity? You know to do right, you don't do it. A lot of people in that condition, even in here. You know to do right, and you don't do it. What is that? It's iniquity. Okay? Now notice, he was the same in every detail except one. He was not born of God. He was created. But the other group are actually seed gene kin to God. Because we're his offspring. From testimony of the seed, Brother Brown said, when Eliezer was sent from Abraham to find a bride for his son, Isaac, a type of the father and son and servant and so forth, Eliezer sweated it out until he found character. And when he found character, he had it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to find today, is character. You can't have character until you got faith, and faith produces character. Now, who was Eliezer? He was a messenger sent from Abraham to find a son, and find a bride for his son. Right? He's a type of the end time messenger. What was he looking for? Those people that could recite the doctrine? Those people that had the doctrine down pat? Some intellectual girl? He's looking for character. Brother Brown says the only thing that we're going to take out of here is what? Our character. You came in naked, you're going to go out naked, you're not going to take anything with you except character. That's what he's looking for. In Romans 3 and 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, but, oh, that's not talking about me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It says, no, not one. Why do you think he had to come down in this hour to work in you to will and then to do? Why did he put the word to will in there? Because you don't have the will to do it. You don't, but he does. You see what he's talking about? We're in a bright age. It's not you're going to work yourself into some perfect conforming to the image of the firstborn son. There's only one that can do that. He's already done it. And God took his spirit and divided it and placed a measure of it in each of us. So it becomes him working in you, both to will and then to do. Now from God has to provide a way, Brother Brown said, and now we're moving right into another great age, coming for the rapture of the church. And in this, we're living in the time of the restoration of the gifts. It stumbled many a big fine churches. It sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecostals. But just the same, God is moving right on, bringing in the rapturing faith for his church. That's right. So tonight I represent that faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints in the way of a divine gift. He said, we're moving into something. We're moving into faith. We are in the bright age. And we're walking in the light as he himself is in the light. It's the only way you're going to make it, brother, sister. If he's not in you working to will and to do, you're not going to be there. That's why I can say, look, there's no, not one. Because Paul said it. God said it. There's not one that's righteous. But he is. So if he's living and abiding in you, that's all you have to worry about. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your son, the sacrifice that he made, knowing that by receiving the very life that was in him, that it's already finished. On the cross he said, it is finished. Therefore the work, O God, is not us working, but it's you working in us to will and to do. You which began the good work shall complete it. You are the author. You are the one who wrote in our DNA And you are the finisher. So, Father, help us just to let go and let God. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to see the difference between the two groups of people who hear the end time message. All we have to do is, by their fruits you shall know them. And we look upon the effect that this word is having upon them. And we know, do they have revelation? Have they heard and have they recognized and have they acted upon what they recognized? Or do they simply just go to church, fill a pew, go home, live the same old life, have the same old baggage that they carry with them? Help us, O God, just to die. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us to die to ourselves, that Christ might live in us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, if the deacons would bring forth the elements at this time. And if you'd open your Bibles with me to John chapter 13, we'll take our text for communion. Begin verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Let me just close this down for just a moment here.